Your Bibles, please turn to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, page 1281 in your Scofield Bible. 2 Timothy, the fourth chapter, we'll read responsively verses 1 through 8, page 1281. And may we please stand, all of us standing, for the reading of God's Word. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. The seventh verse is the text verse. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And let's pray. Father, once again, it's a privilege to be here on a Sunday night. Thank you for the preaching. Thank you for tonight. We do pray, of course, sincerely for your leadership, your Spirit's help and fullness. As preacher comes, as we listen, help us each. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tonight I'm going to bring a message appropriate to the the conditions of our country, especially our area. We are in a definite, strong recession. There's no doubt about that. And one factory alone this week, 50 of our men were laid off. 50 First Baptist Church men were laid off one day this week. Now, because that's true, it makes it easier for us to lose sight of the long-range goal that we've had in life. I'm going to speak tonight on the subject on not losing sight of your goal. On not losing sight of your goal. Now, I want you to hear me carefully. Because I believe there's no time. It's easy. See the goal out there? Easy to head for the goal. As long as you, as everything's okay and there's no problems and no obstacles. But now, many of you are finding it impossible to continue the pursuit as far as the present is concerned toward your goal. Now, it doesn't mean that you have to be running all the time toward the goal, but don't lose sight of the goal. You know, you can go 5 miles an hour on the road to your goal. Or for that matter, you can even stop for a while for a stoplight and still be on the road to your goal. So I'm saying the idea is keep your eye on your goal. Don't lose sight of your goal. Know where you're going. I feel sorry for folks that just wander through life like a fellow wandering through a department store somewhere just sort of shopping. With his eyes looking for nothing, just wandering through, or wandering through the park, just looking around, not going anywhere. I feel sorrier for somebody who had a goal and once was marching toward that goal, who lost sight of it and has become detoured from the goal. So now, I want you to listen. I believe there are hundreds of people in this room tonight who desperately need what I'm going to say. The Apostle Paul said, I've kept the faith. And then he said, I finished the course. And then he said, I've fought the good fight, or fought a good fight, or the good fight. Now, those three statements are the outline of my message tonight on keeping your eye on the goal. Paul said, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. He goes on to say again and again, this one thing I do. I do this thing. He had his mind on one thing. And then he said, I press toward that mark all the time. all the time. Now, it may be that I'll go 50 miles an hour toward that mark for a while. Maybe I'll go 5 miles an hour, but I'm always looking at the mark. That's what he said when he said, seeing we're compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, I always on the goal. A fellow who runs a race and looks to see how he's doing is not going to do very well. You keep your eye on the goal all the time. A fellow that plays golf and swings, before he swings, looks up to see where the ball's going to go. It's not going to go anywhere. I remember one time, Jim Lyons and I were playing golf years ago down in Texas. And I lined up there, you know, and I was always the kind of fellow that got it just right. And I lined up there and got my feet just right, you know. And went back like that in the backswing. Missed the ball completely. Didn't even touch it. And we got so mad on my back, as I pulled the club back, hit the ball, knocked it 200 yards that direction. I was shooting that way. But it's so easy to get diverted and cause yourself to take your eye off of the goal. Father, bless the message tonight. And I pray this message will be exactly what our people need. But Lord, I can't help them if they don't listen to me. So I pray they'll listen quite carefully as I bring the message. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul lived in horror that he wouldn't make the goal. He said in Galatians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9, he said, if any man come and preach any other gospel other than that I have brought unto you, or you've heard from me, let him be accursed. He goes on to say, if an angel from heaven come back and preach any other gospel, then let him be accursed. And then Paul, realizing it could happen to himself, he said, if I come back and preach any other gospel, let me be accursed. And the word accursed there is the word anathema, which means condemned and tried, declared guilty, punished, and stand before the judgment and cast into hell. That's exactly what it means. It means if I or anybody else bring any other gospel, let him be as one that's going to go to hell when he dies. Now, Paul, the interesting thing is this. Paul said, if I do it. Now, it's easy for us to say if somebody else does it. But Paul realized that there was a possibility that he himself would become a false teacher. Isn't that a shocking thing? Paul said, if I come back and preach any other gospel, let me be accursed. In 1 Corinthians 9:27, Paul asked God to forbid that he might become a castaway. Paul realized that he himself could become a castaway. I say, be careful with the will of God. I was... it's funny. I'm enjoying it already. This week I was carrying my luggage. Now I have a suitcase that is stiff on the sides. It's the kind you put a suit in, and sometimes they'll put the word fragile on it because I have I carry my toilet articles in the bag of the suitcase. It's on the outside, I have bottles of toilet articles in there, like shave cream after shave and so forth. They put this coming back from the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport on Wednesday, and they put a fragile handle with care sticker on the suitcase. Well, I carried it over my shoulder when I got picked it up, and the fragile handle with care came off almost a overcoat right back here. And there I was walking down a hallway right back here. Fragile, handle with care. And I noticed folks were so friendly to me, and they were laughing, smiling at me. I thought, well, maybe it's a Christmas season. Everybody's in a good mood. And I'd say, hi, hello, hello. Finally, one lady walked up to me, and she said, sir, do you know what? And I said, what? She said, on your back, on the lower part, you've got a sign that says, fragile, handle with care. But the will of God's a very fragile thing. You have to handle it with care. Lest you lose sight of the goal. Now, the apostle is arriving at the end of his goal, of his journey, and he's arriving at his goal, and he tells us how he did it. Now, I want you to listen, because this is vital. He tells us how he did it. He said, I've kept the faith. What does it mean? I arrived at the goal. Now, he said, my great desire in life was to keep the faith. That's the great desire I had. That's the goal out toward the end. It's my job to keep the faith. Always, for all of my life, to keep the faith. I want to live and keep the faith. I want to keep the faith till I die. When I meet God, I want to have kept the faith. Now, that is the winning of the game. That was his goal, and he was always looking to it. It's so easy to lose sight of that. It's easy for us to say, this is what God wants me to do, and this is where I'm going, but the circumstances of life and the unfortunate things, we think, of life, the misfortunes of life, as we would count them, cause us to lose sight of that goal. Oh, I say to young people, set yourself a goal and keep marching towards it. Picture a shingle on your door, and picture a stethoscope around your neck and keep marching toward that doctor's office. Or picture a courtroom scene, and you're the attorney fighting for justice, and keep marching toward that goal, and don't veer to the left and don't veer to the right. Keep marching toward that goal. Picture yourself, you listening fellows on the back row on the balcony, picture yourself as you behind a pulpit somewhere and pastoring a church, and keep your eye on that goal and keep marching toward that goal, never veering to the right, never veering to the left, always marching toward that goal. And it's so easy to lose sight in the complex society in which we live. One day, down in Texas, Joe Boyd and I had a funeral. And I was to preach the funeral, and Joe was, at that time, was pastoring a church not far from me, and they asked him if he would read the scripture and lead in prayer. So we shared the funeral, and we went together to the cemetery. Well, it's about a 40-mile drive or so to the cemetery. And so Joe and I hadn't seen each other in a long time, and I was driving, and we were behind the flower car and the family cars, and we must have been about fifth or sixth or seventh back along the way. And we got talking in this, and we went in procession all the way up to 40 miles up toward McKinney, Texas, and past McKinney, Texas, and then to turn left and go out to a little country cemetery way out in the country. We didn't know where it was. We were trusting the lead car to get us there. We had never been there before. And so we hadn't seen each other in a while. So we got talking. Joe, how you doing? Fine. How's Edith? Fine. And how's Amy? Fine. How's Bubba? Fine. How's the church? Good. We got to talking. We forgot where we were. And so we passed the family car in front of us, and we wondered why folks were going so slowly, because we didn't want to creep along the highway, and we forgot where we were going. So we passed the next family car, and passed the next family car, and passed the hearse, and passed the flower car, and took off 60 miles an hour, and didn't know where we were going. And it must have been 40 minutes later, I said, Joe, where are we going? Oh, good night, he said. We're in a funeral procession, And we had lost the procession. We didn't know where it was. We was out in a country cemetery somewhere, and we started looking. And you stop the highway and ask him if I know where a funeral's going on. That's not the usual thing. And so we tried to find. And finally, after 45 minutes to an hour, we found the place been waiting for us all that time. You see, we got busy on other things and lost sight of the goal. It was our job to follow the procession, and to stay in the processional and go to the cemetery. We lost sight of the goal, ended up in front of, went too fast, and got our minds on something else. And I'm talking to dozens of people in this room tonight who started out somewhere, but you're not on the road now. You got so fast, you start passing folks up. You got so busy talking, you got off the trail. Or some adversity came, or you lost your job, or you got another job, and you enjoyed that job, and now then you've lost the sight of the goal, and you're going off to the left or going off the right. Ah, you're not very smart. You keep your eye on the goal and always looking at it, always marching towards it. And so Paul said, I've kept the faith. A young man came to college to study for the ministry, and here in our college. And he asked me, he said, Brother House, pray that I'd find work. And so he did find work. And, oh, he loved his job. He loved it. And loved his boss. And he got enraptured in his work. And soon he quit college and now is pursuing a profession in the job. Now, the job was supposed to be a tool. The goal was to be in the ministry. But then pretty soon he lost sight of that goal. He enjoyed what he was doing. He got a little touch of the green stuff. Got his pocket full of it. And it ruined him like it ruins most everybody else that gets very much of it. And he decided, oh, I like this work. And then he said, oh, I used to think God had called me to preach. Listen, you'd be a lot better off to trust the decision that you made back yonder when you were spiritual before you came than to trust the one you make when you're backslidden and making a lot of money once you're here. And I say this, don't undo in doubt what you did in faith. I've said this before. When God spoke to my heart about becoming pastor of this church 22 and a half years ago nearly, I didn't want to come. I wanted to stay where I was. I thought I was there for life. And God spoke to my heart. After 7 months of wrestling with this thing, I finally felt that God wanted us to come to Hammond. So I gave a 30-day notice in my church in Texas. I no sooner had given that notice till I had reservation. I felt like I'd made the wrong decision. But I decided I'd be a lot better off to abide by that decision I had made when I was praying all night, begging God for leadership, and in faith, than to abide by decision that I'd make after I'd resign. I knew I had to leave my people, and I was heartbroken and crying myself to sleep every day and waking up crying in the nighttime and weeping during the daytime. The chairman of my deacons and another deacon took me out to eat shortly before we left to come here. And I didn't say one word, just cried all the way through. That's all I did, just cried. They spoke and tried to calm me down, and I couldn't. Just cried all the way through. And I decided I'm not going to turn back. I made a decision. I made that decision in prayer. I made that decision in a... I'm going to get around a train. Here comes a train. It passes here, and I'm going to go across right over here. And I jump in the car and run lickety-split and helter-skelter and law-breaking and everything else, and take off, and this light down here. You know what makes this light turn red? A train coming makes this first light turn red on Soul Street. And there the train passes me up. And so I look at it, and I wonder, it's getting ahead. Now, I wonder how fast it's going. It's going about 30. If I can go by 60, I can get it at Calumet. And all the light change. Take off for Calumet Street. And just as I get to Calumet Street, that thing, your arm is coming down. And so, okay, I know. I'll go to Columbia. I'll get to Columbia. And so I'll take off for Columbia. And look at every street to see if the train's there. And it's there. And then finally I get almost to Columbia, and I see it. Now then, it there, and then the things come down. So I take off for Indianapolis over there. You've been there many times, haven't you? Listen, I've been all the way to South Bend, folks. You can't save time doing that. No way. And this is one thing all of us can relate to in this area, I'll guarantee you. But I get out to Indianapolis. What's happening now? Train's coming the other way. And now, the best thing to do if you're going down Calumet Street is to drive on down there and get in line and count the tutu train as it goes by. That's the best thing to do. Stay on the road. You get off the road, you lose time. And that's the best thing to do about the will of God. Stay on the road. Keep your eye on the goal, pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And if you have to stop for a while and for a train, okay, but stay on the road. And that way you can still see the goal. But stay on the road. Have to stop for a while because you lost your job? Okay, but stay on the road. Don't let the job steal you from the goal that you set. Just keep on looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking toward the goal, marching toward the goal, and with the goal always visible and in sight. Now, there are two dangers here, and I want you to hear me carefully. There are two dangers about it. Paul said, I've kept the faith. But when you look toward that goal down at the end, the one you go into at the end, when you look toward that, one danger is getting discouraged and quitting. I mean, there's the goal. You want to someday be a doctor. But my soul, it takes 10 years to become a doctor. I guess it does. And if you're going to be a surgeon, it takes several more years than that. If you're going to be a lawyer, it takes 7 years maybe. If you're going to be a preacher, it takes about 15 days. And some of you pipsqueaks think. You look down and go, oh, my soul, it's going to be a long, long time. And it's discouraging to realize how far you've got to go if you keep looking at the goal down at the end of the way. You heard about the fellow. I've used it as illustration before. A fellow hired a man to build a 10-mile fence, 2.5 miles this way, 2.5 miles this way, 2.5 miles this way, 2.5 miles this way around his farm. And so, one fellow came and answered his ad and said, what do you want me to do? He hired him. He said, I want you to build a fence that's 10 miles long. And the fellow worked 2 days and thought, good night, still got 9 miles, 9/10 to go. He got discouraged and quit the job. He hired another fellow and said, what's your job? He said, I want you to take 3 years and build a fence. It'll take 3 years to build this fence. And the fellow worked for 2 days. Said, oh, good night. I got 2 years and 364 days to go. And he quit the job. Next fellow came. Said, what do you want me to do? He said, I want you to dig a hole and put a picket in it. And just right beside that, dig a hole, put a picket in that, and keep doing until I tell you to stop. He built the fence. You see, because his, he didn't, that long-range goal can discourage you. And I'm going to tell you what Paul did after a while to overcome that. Now, the second danger is wanting to get there too soon and not getting there at all. Here's the goal down the line. I talked to a young man last Monday night, fine young man, one of the finest young men ever went to Howells Anderson College. He came here for a year or so, and then a certain preacher offered him a job being assistant pastor, and he wanted to get to his goal too soon. Now then, no college degree, Bible courses he still needs, and ripening on the vine he still needs, wanted to get there too soon. But you say, yeah, Dwight L. Moody didn't go to school. Yes, I know, but you're not a Dwight L. Moody, buddy. Well, you say, Billy Sunday, he chopped up the King's English. Most of you folks, even after you graduate, still chop the King's English up, so you can still be a Billy Sunday. And I'm saying, you're not a Billy Sunday. That's the exception rather than the rule. John Rice went to school. Bob Jones went to school. Bob Jones Jr. went to school. B. Robertson went to school. Bob Gray went to school. Jack Hiles went to school. Tom Malone went to school. And you go, oh, God makes a preacher. I like what that somebody said one time. The preacher said, God doesn't need your education. The preacher said, no, and God doesn't need your ignorance either. And down in New Orleans Seminary, Dr. Level was president down there one time. a 30-day wonder was going to come to school and going to go out and win the world of Christ in 30 days. And so he came to school, went to president, Dr. Level, and said, I want to preach. And Dr. Level said, how long have you been called? Well, a few days. He said, do you know the Bible? No, but I want to preach. He said, what are you going to say? Well, he said, God will give the words to me to say. Well, he said, okay, if that's the way you feel, go down to a certain corner and preach down there on the street corner. And the young man said, why, that's a Mexican area. They speak Spanish. Well, Dr. Level said, if God's going to give you the words to say, he may as well give you Spanish as English. And now listen to me. Listen to me. You're not going to make it if you get too anxious to get to the goal. That's one reason why I tell preacher boys in Howells Anderson College, you shouldn't decide where you're going to go your freshman, sophomore, junior year. You don't have to say, I'm going to start a church in Timbuktu, Tucumcari, and Kalamazoo and Albuquerque. I want to start churches there. But best thing you better do is just go to school and learn some. And then your last semester in college, maybe you can decide where you're going to go or what you're going to do. You see, you get your heart set in when you enroll. A fellow came to me first week he was in college and said, where do you think I ought to go when I graduate? And I said, son, with your attitude, you're going to be so old, you won't be able to get anywhere. I'm saying that's not the time to figure where you're going to go. And that's the way the Apostle Paul licked it. This young man, this while ago. Assistant pastor now. I saw him Monday night. I love the guy. I've known him for years. And I said, son, get back in college. But he said, I'm needed. I said, get back in college. Take the long look and get back. And don't try to get to your goal now. There's a danger of getting discouraged and quitting or going too fast toward the goal and wanting to get to the goal too soon. Now, Paul realized that, and here's the sermon. Paul said, okay, my long-range goal is to keep the faith. But he said, that's a long goal to look at, so he said, now, here's the way I kept the faith. He said, I finished the course. He said, now, to keep the faith was my big goal, but to have a shorter goal was a good idea. So I had a shorter goal, and that was to finish the course. Now, here's a football team playing. What's the goal of playing the game? Tell me. Win the game. Okay. But now, if you think about winning the game, that won't do it. You've got to think about getting a touchdown. You see, that's the shorter goal. Team goes, we're going to win, we're going to win, we're going to win. Well, dummy, you better figure out how to get this ball from here to yonder then and cross the goal line with it. That's the shorter goal. Now then, hold it. If you're going to get to the goal line, a lot of games are lost because they want to make it all on one play. Here's the guy fades back in the 90 yards away, throws a long desperation pass, gets intercepted, where if he, that's still too long ago. Paul said, I had a goal. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. But he said, He said if I made that goal, I had to look at a shorter goal, and that was to finish the course. Now then, he said, that's still too long a goal. He said I had to have a shorter goal, and that was fight the fight. You see, fight the fight. That's what you do. Now, a fellow who says, you've seen fellows boxing, and you've seen a guy, and boy, he comes out, gonna knock him down the first round. Boy, he comes out swinging, and boy, and lets him have it, you know, and he's gonna knock him out. And he swings himself out about the fourth round and loses the fight. But here's one guy who paces himself. And he says, now my goal is to fight the fight. That's my goal, fight the fight. And so he pecks it with a jab and a cross and so forth. And he tries, what does he try? Try to win the fight? No, he tried to win the round. You see? Try to win the round. Little drops of water, little grains of sand make the mighty ocean and the pleasant land. Now what Paul is saying here, he's saying, I've reached the goal. What is the big goal? Kept the faith. How did I keep the faith? By finishing the course. How did I finish the course? By fighting the good fight. He said, if I fight the good fight, he said, then I'll reach my intermediate goal of finishing the course. And he said, if I finish the course, I will have kept the faith. And so Paul said, my big goal, keep the faith. But I'm not going to just keep. I'll get discouraged, or I want to get there too quickly. So I'll get a secondary goal. And that secondary goal is to finish the course. But that's a long course to run. And so I think I'll just do this. I think I'll just fight. Now, what did he mean by fight? He had said one time, I buffet my body daily. I buffet my body daily. So Paul said, every day I'm going to fight the good fight. Now, if I fight the good fight every day, I'll finish the course. If I finish the course, I'll have kept the faith. Now, that means this. If I try to get a touchdown, you'll get discouraged. But you know the most amazing game in this world is football? Football? Why? Because football is more like life than any other single sport. The first place in football, you have to have cooperation. Folks have to help you. There are no self-made men in football. You let the big old behemoths up in front of Walter Payton decide not to come to the game, and they'll make mincemeat out of Walter Payton. Yeah. I could run behind the Dallas Cowboy line and make 100 yards a game. Well, if I could run that far without getting winded. Sure. Why? Because football is a game where you have to work together. And how well you block, if a guy can't find the hole and go through it, doesn't matter how good a pass you throw, if the guy fumbles it down at the end of the line, and life is that way. Oh, you say I'm a self-made man. Yeah, you're an idiot, too, beside that. No self-made man. No, sir. No, sir. And something else about football, and that is you got as many folks trying to keep you from making it as you have trying to help you make it. For every man you got trying to boost you along, you got that same amount trying to push you back. And then something else about football. Win the game's the idea. Touchdown is, if you win the game, you got to make touchdowns. But if you make touchdowns, you got to make what? First down. That's exactly it. And so, Paul said, my game was to keep the faith. But he said, I got to make a touchdown, and that's to finish the course. But he said, I got to make a first down, and that's to fight daily the good fight. That's the first down. And that's what Paul is saying. Now listen to me. You, in that goal that God has called you to accomplish, keep your eye on it. But look, you will not, most folks will never get there if they just have that one goal. But if you can have a shorter goal, now first down counts no points, but you won't make touchdowns very often unless you make first downs. Hey, wake up! And you won't make touchdowns unless you make first downs. By the way, some of you young men need enough character to stay awake when somebody's preaching. Well, you say it's hard. Okay, then do something hard, dummy. And I'm saying, listen, right now, as sure as I'm standing here, we have folks in this room who are going to lose sight of your goal because of the recession that's going on right now. Yes, you are. And you better watch it. You better watch it. You'll have to make a living for your family. Of course you do, but keep your eye on the goal. And you have to change jobs, of course, but keep your eye on the goal. Everything's gone bad since I got to First Baptist Church Hammond. Now, you're not the one to decide what going bad is. It may be what you think is going bad, what God thinks is going good. And so, you keep your eye on the goal. Here's a football player. And he runs down the field, and he's behind everybody. And then what happens? He looks back, and there comes the ball. He's 5 yards ahead of the defensive back. All he's got to do is catch the ball. What does he do? He takes off and looks toward the end zone and runs before he gets the ball and drops the ball. Here's what the hardest thing for a golfer. You watch the good golfers, and here's the way they do it. They take that stick, and they swing that stick, and they hit the ball. And when they're right here, like that, they're still looking where the ball was. Now, here I am, like the fella said. The fella walked up and said, "Hey, fella, you're supposed to tee off back here, 10 feet back." He said, "Shut up, this is my second shot." I haven't played golf in about 15 years, but when I used to play golf, I have slashed more balls in two than anybody in the whole world. Why? Because always, instead of, and that's what some of you folks are doing. You're going, instead of. And you're looking for the big goal, and you haven't got your eye on the ball. You're not making your, make your first down. And concentrate on your first down. Every good football team, they're headed for a first down. That's all they're trying to get. First down, first down, first down, first down, first down, touchdown. First down, first down, first down, touchdown. And if they do that, then, of course, they win the game. You know, I can't believe some of the statements I hear these days. I can't believe it. You'd think almost it's God's fault, everybody that fails. Fellow came to office and said, "I don't have any character. I just can't do this." A student at Hiles Anderson came the other day and said, "My dad didn't teach me character. I haven't got any character. I expect me to succeed." Well, get some character. Fellow said, "Well, Brother Hiles, how do you get up in the morning?" "Well, I usually take my left leg first and stick it out and put it on the floor, and then it's followed by my right leg." Now, listen, man, hear me carefully. Don't you blame your lack of character now on your daddy. It may have been your daddy's fault if you didn't have any character when you walked out of that house, but it is your fault if you don't get character now. This old idea, "Dad didn't give it to me, so I'll never get it." That's the sluggard's that way out. And listen, young folks. Hey, listen to me, young folks. Back here. Hey, young folks. Hey. Listen to me while I'm preaching. This is no picnic. This is church. You're not going to hear while you're preaching. Go get on the bus and go home and don't come back here again. I'm trying to teach you something. If you're going to mount anything in life, you've got to have a goal. And if you're going to reach that goal, you've got to have little goals. When you rehearse for this beautiful number, you didn't get up here and practice all those numbers at one time. Brother Ray didn't say, "Okay, let's sing it through." You sing it through one time? "Well, I think that's okay." Now, that's the way the Backwood Brothers do it. Because we don't need all the practice acquired up. God is just, they're not blaming God on that. Don't strike me dead. But I know what you did. You said, "Now look, let's study this one. And let's practice this one." And you worked on it. And you, by the way, you didn't work on the whole song. You'd come to one little line there. You call them bars? One little bar there. And you'd say, "Okay, tenors, let's get that." And they got it first time. "Okay, basses, get your part." They tried. "Come on, basses, get your part." They tried again. "Come on, basses, get your part." They tried again. "Come on, basses, get your part." And then he said, "Okay, just the tenors, sopranos, and altos will sing this little line here. Now, look, cantata, how do you get a cantata? One song at a time. How do you get one song at a time? One bar at a time." And that's the way you get a cantata. And that's the way you win a game. And that's the way you win a life. And that's the way Paul said, I've kept the faith. How'd you keep the faith, Paul? I got a little shorter vision here. Now, bear in mind this. Look, why I'm talking about golf so much. I haven't played golf. I quit the game because it wouldn't mow the yard where I played. I'm talking about golf. Listen, do you know how I used to putt? I'd get me, my putter right here, and if this is the hole right here, I'd find a little spot here between me, my ball, and the hole. And I'd take that putter, and I'd putt for that spot. I learned one day that short putts... Turn this up, please. I learned one day that short... Turn this up, please. I learned one day that short putts are easier to make than long putts. So I decided to make every putt a short putt. And that way I didn't have to putt-putt. And, I don't like to do this, but it's the only way to keep some of you folks away. So, now look, now, suppose, Dr. Evans, that there's the hole right there, and here's the ball. Now, don't you think if I can find a spot right between there, that is on a line between, and put it that spot, then I'm not making a 4-foot putt, I'm making a 2-foot putt. You see? So I'd putt to that little spot right there. Now, I'll tell you something else I used to do. I used to put my toe between the ball and the club, so that, and I'd try to putt right by the toe. If I had a little twist, I'd put the toe there, so, and that way if I missed the on the left, the toe can always guide it into the hole. You see, you need these little spiritual tidbits along the way. And but I'd say if I can get the ball right past that toe, I got it made. So I'd shoot for the edge of the toe. What is it? A short goal is what it is. And that's exactly what Paul is saying here. Paul's saying you're making a putt. Your putt is to keep the faith. Okay, but that's a mighty long putt. Well, okay, sit out and put your little spot between that. And that's to finish the course. Oh, but that's still a long ways. Okay, he said, then aim at this. Aim at fighting the good fight. And he said, if you fight the good fight, he said, the ball will of necessity roll down the course. And if you finish the course, you will of necessity make the putt of keeping the faith. Now listen, I'm talking to dozens of people not in this room who are getting off course. Listen, I'm talking to some young people who are as sure as I'm standing here are going to get off course in the Christmas season. You're going to go home. The last Sunday night sermon you're going to hear. And you college young folks are going to go home and you're going to do things that'll get you off the course. Why? Because you got your eye off of the goal and the little goal and the first down. And as sure as I'm standing here, you're going to lose the game of life one of these days because you don't make a first down during the Christmas holidays. Stay on the course. Stay on the course. Keep your eye on the goal. Have your intermediate goal. Have your short goal. But be sure your short goal is on the road to the big goal. And the intermediate goal is on the road to the big goal. Be sure that your fighting the fight is on the road to finishing the course. And your finishing the course is on the road to keeping the faith. And if you want someday to arrive at your destination, you're going to have to keep your eye on that next goal and the next first down and the next... Listen. Many a Christian, many a new Christian, stumbles. They come to a church like this, they get right with God, and they look at what we think they ought to be someday. And sometimes we expect them to become the next week what it took us 20 years to become. A young Christian, let's suppose that your hair is not as short as we hope it'll be someday. We're not going to kick you out of the church. And whoever's unfriendly to you, I'd rather have long, shaggy hair than be unkind and crude. And by the way, you know what we need around here? We need an old-fashioned revival in courtesies, decency, kindness, manners. But I'm saying, don't you? You're not going to be a Wendell Evans overnight. Why, it takes you several days to get like that. You don't get in that kind of shape overnight. Well, I mean, no use in trying. So, listen, some of you young ladies, you're trying to get married, want to get married, and you're trying to find somebody who is like some middle-aged man or younger middle-aged man, 30, 35 years of age, and you want somebody like that. No, you ought to get somebody that's like that man was when he was the age that you are. You can't arrive at the goal today. You're not going to be a mature Christian today. Make a first down. Don't worry about the touchdown. Make a first down, and the touchdown will care for itself. Make the touchdown, and the game will care for itself. Now keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the goal. Keep your eye on the goal. But then that shorter goal I was a paratrooper in the Civil War. I'll never forget old Abe, one of the finest men I ever met in my life. Did you know, when they said one day, okay, Hiles, run 10 miles. Oh, brother. 10 miles. And I got thinking, you know how far 10 miles is? That's from here to Dyer. Oh, my soul. That's my first goal is to make it past the educational building over here. 10 miles. Doc, that's all the way down past the City Hall, then on past Conkey Street, and on past 165th. That's on down past 173rd. That's on down past the Borman Expressway. That's on down through Munster and out in the country and all the way to Dyer. Man, I can't do that. I learned something. I learned as I ran 10 miles every day, I learned to do one thing, take the next step. Just take the next step. Just one. Oh, I tell you, many a time I've just about passed out. I had lost everything that was liquid had come out of this hole right here. I mean, everything come out of here, liquid squirting out all over my face. Tears up here. What I'd eaten down here. And right here, I don't know what it is, but I know what it's not. Right here. And it coming out of here. And there I was running, and I'd say, help me. Just, Lord, just one more step. Just one more step. Just one more step. Just one more. That's the way you run 10 miles. That's always the way you do it. An accomplishment is always made if you have that next little goal. Well, let's see. All you got to do to be a good wife is to get married. Then that's the first thing you got to be a good wife. Get married. And then you got to get up in the morning, and you got to get breakfast ready, and you got to make up the beds, and then wake up the old man, and then go down and put the coffee on, and go back and wake up the old man again, and then put the toast in the toaster, and go back and wake up the old man again, and then after that, you got to wake up the old man, and then you have breakfast. After that, you got to wash the dishes, and then you got to go down and put the clothes in the washer, and then you got to get that, and then you got to put the ones that in the washer last night in the dryer, and those that were in the dryer, you got to fold those and put them in the closet, and then you got to vacuum the house, and then you got to be sure and dust all the furniture, and it's about time for the kids to get up. You got to wake up the kids, and you got to clean the bed, and you got to change the diaper, and you got to give the kid a bath, and you got to dress the kid, and then you got to feed the kid, and then it's time to get ready for lunch, and you fix lunch, and you got to wash the dishes, and then it's time to iron, and you got to iron the clothes, and iron, and then you got to get breakfast, supper ready, and then you got to greet your husband when he comes home, and then you got to finish getting supper ready, and you got to wake up the old man, so you say, okay, that's what you got to do. And lady says, I think I'll be an old maid. But you just say, what am I doing? Oh, he said, will you marry me? And she says, yeah, what I will have to do. He said, just the next thing comes along, just one step at a time. And so she gets married. Listen, there's not one woman alive, if she knew what she had to do, would get married. Not one woman alive. And there's not one man alive, if he knew what she is going to say and act like when she found out what she's going to do, they'd ever get married. But I mean, it's that little next goal, and the next goal, and the first down. Now watch it. You're about to lose sight of your goal, some of you. Young lady back there been talking all night. Hey, look at me while I'm preaching. I'm going to have somebody come back here and take you outside. Folks behind you need to hear. Now get you a zipper and zip up that big mouth and hear what I've got to say. I'm saying get you a goal. Good night, I can't help you if you don't listen to me. Young lady, the next time I see you talking, I'm going to have somebody take you outside that door. Now, I can't help you if you don't listen. And the truth is, you won't have great tragedy if you'll do what I'm talking about in this sermon tonight. You need to hear me. Keep your... Listen. I'm no great Shakespeare preacher, and you know that, but I'll guarantee you one thing. From the time that I knelt on my knees outside a little old hovel of a house on New Year's Day, about 12:20 after midnight on New Year's Day 1945, and I knelt there and gave my all to God, I've known where I was going all the time. I've known where I was going. I had a dream. My dream was to someday do what I'm doing right now. But if I just said, okay, I want to be there. No, but that's not the way you do it. I had to get a first down first. I had to go to college first. Had to pass the courses first. Had to get a first down. Another first down. Another first down. Another first down. Now look at it in reverse order. Paul said, I kept the faith. That was my big goal. But he said, in order to get to the big goal, I had to have an intermediate goal. And he said, the way I got to that goal was, he said, I finished the course. But he said, the course was a long course. The way I got to that goal was I fought the fight all the time. Every day, fought the fight. And he said, as I fought the fight, I stayed on the course. As I stayed on the course, I finished the course. As I finished the course, I kept the faith. And when he died, he was at his goal. Now, God has a plan for your life. Stay on target. Stay on target. If I back years ago when I used to drive a lot, I never drive anymore hardly. I tell you what, I anywhere I go I fly. I just fly. And but I used to drive. If we took a trip, say 1,000 miles, I never said, okay, I want to get there in 20 hours. Never said that. If I was going to Colorado, I wouldn't say that. I'd say, okay, I want to get to Moline and Rock Island in an hour and a half. I'm just guessing that's how far. Hour and a half. And then stay on schedule. That's the way anybody stays on schedule. Schedule is what time you arrive in Des Moines, what time you arrive in Omaha, what time you arrive in North Platte, Nebraska, what time you arrive in Colorado Springs, what time you arrive in Denver, Estes Park, what time you arrive in Denver, what time you arrive in Colorado Springs. You'll go crazy trying to keep the schedule, but just one stop. You've got to cut it up in pieces. And the way you stay on schedule is to have small stops. I'll get here at this time, and here at that time, and here at this time. I had a young man say to me, he said, how can I be motivated to study? And that irritates the fire out of me. I don't think you need have to be motivated to study. How can I be motivated to work? I don't think you need to have to be motivated to work. I think you're supposed to work motivated or not motivated. You see, if you have to be motivated to work, then you're blaming the motivator instead of yourself. I don't, by the way, I talked to that young man. I was tired, had a rough day, was getting late at night. And I said, I wasn't motivated to be here tonight to talk to you. And I said, truth is, I wish I weren't. But I'm supposed to be here. I get sick and tired of people blaming every kind of a thing except themselves on their failure. The only motivation you need is, I'm supposed to do it, and I'll do it. The lady said to me, one of our ladies, young married lady, we married all year or two. She said, Brother House, my husband's upset with me. She said, he says I'm not affectionate enough. But she said, I'm just not the affectionate type. Don't blame God on you, coldness. And I said, then become the affectionate type. Well, you say, Brother House, I'm just not warm-natured. Then get with the fire, dummy. I mean, I'm not kidding. We have blamed everything but ourselves. We have blamed circumstances and even God. God didn't make me thus and so. Listen to me. Follow me carefully. There are some things we're not supposed to have to yield to God to do. Now follow me. If my people are called by my name, will what? Humble themselves. Then you're not supposed to bother God to get humble. All right? Humble yourself. Over the house. Ask God to make me humble. Not going to do it. Do it yourself. God said to. What it said. Humble yourself. And God never gave a command we could not do. Now follow me. My people, call my name, shall humble themselves, and what? Pray, and seek my face and turn from their wicked. Oh, God, help me to turn from my wicked ways. God says, do it yourself. What it says? Do it yourself. Remember the story of Achan? They came to Jericho and God said, don't want the people to take anything in this city has a curse on it. Achan came, he saw a nice overcoat for his wife, and he saw some gold for his family, some money. He took the gold, took the overcoat, hid it. Remember? They came to Ai, lost the battle of Ai. And they lost the battle of Ai. Joshua went and threw himself before the Lord. And God said Judges chapter 10, I think. Joshua 10. I think it's verse 7. God said, Joshua, get up! And Joshua could have said, but I'm praying. Get up! But I'm asking, dear Lord, I'm asking you to get up! He said, this is no time to pray. Go find the guy that's done the wrong. Get him out of the camp. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Listen, if you don't have any character, you can get it now. Now, you may not have the whole load now, but you can dead sure get a shovel full. Psalm 37:4. Delight thyself also in the Lord. You have to come to God and say, oh, Lord, help me to delight in you. God said, never mind that. Do it yourself. Do it yourself. How pitiful. How pitiful. We, you'd think, we're a bunch of amoebas just floating around. And Lord, push me where I ought to go. Go yourself! Turn from your wicked ways. Delight thyself in the Lord. Humble thyself. Seek my face. Pray. You do it. You do it. And don't you ever again come to me and open your chops and say, I just don't have any character because my mama didn't rock me enough and didn't sing the soothing songs and my dad didn't take me to watch the Cubs. More folks have had their character ruined by watching the Cubs than had their character helped. All right, I'll ask you a question. Are you on course? Talked to one of the finest men I know just the other night. He said, preacher, I told him, I said, you lost your course. You're off course. He said, I know it. That's one reason why I don't advise, I'm saying more about college students than I ought to tonight, because I'm trying to get you strengthened to take off for a few days. But this is not just to college people. That's why I think a young man in college is better off to wash dishes at tables than he is to go in business for himself. Listen, more young men go astray who go in business for themselves. I never advise a young man to go in business for himself. Get a lawnmower and mow yards. Get a shovel and shovel snow. Because when you go in business for yourself, then before you know it, if you become successful, you won't want to live the sacrificial life that a preacher will have to live. And many of you older or middle-aged people in this room tonight, you got off course. You got off course. You had as a goal to rear your family for God, but you got off course. Little money. I had a doctor, remember my church one time? Not here, but he was a doctor. One of the finest. He came to my church after he'd gotten out of medical school. He couldn't find anybody that'd come to him. He said, do you know anybody that's sick? He said, I need some customers. I took him out to eat down to Lobello's Barbecue in Garland, Texas. And I said, okay, let me help you. That fella came to church. He was always there. He was faithful, loyal. He was a soul winner. He was on target. And then he had some success as a doctor. Wasn't long, he got elected the president of the state medical board or something. And he had to plan the conventions, and the conventions were on the weekend. And slowly but surely, he got off course. Wasn't long he quit coming to church. Wasn't long he thought he was too good to come to our little, to our fundamental church. And now he's in some old liberal church, not doing anything very much. Why? He got off course. He got off course. Keep your eye on the goal. That goal, Paul said, is to keep the faith. Now, he said, that's a long ways off. I might get discouraged and quit, or I might go too fast to get there too soon. So he said, I had a smaller goal, shorter goal. He said that was to finish the course. That made it easier. So I kept my eye on finishing the course. But he said that seemed a long ways off, too. So I decided to keep my eye on fighting the fight every day. Are you off course tonight? You heard me tell this little story. I hadn't thought to tell it. Now tell it and quit. Lester Roloff was here speaking on a Wednesday night years ago. He flies an airplane. I flew with him one time. And if God in heaven let me keep my sanity, I'll never get an airplane. Lester Roloff is piloting again. He said, that may hurt his feelings. Lester, if you hear this tape, I mean it. I'm never getting in a plane with you again. I love you. You're a good man. But as a pilot, you stink. And so, Lester Roloff, he was going to preach in Canton, Ohio on Thursday night, and I was going to preach in Akron. Well, actually, Barberton, Ohio, near Akron, on Thursday night. Lester said, good night, Akron and Canton, same airport. He said, go with me. And I did. We took off from the Lansing airport out here, taking off toward Akron. We got talking, fellowshipping, and I was eating some pecans. He had a can of pecans up there on the dash. I was eating some pecans. And he looked over at me, and he was as pale as a ghost. Perspiration broke out on his face. He said, Brother Jack, he said, you know where we are? And I said, man, you're the one supposed to keep up with that. And I'm busy eating pecans, man. I can't do both. you keep up with that. He looked at me. I've never seen a man more scared in my life. You know, I've heard him talk about, yeah, I just want to see Jesus. Well, he had a good chance to see him right now. I mean, all he had to do is just keep on going. And he said, Brother Jack, he said, we're over Lake Erie. He said, Brother Jack, the compass won't work. It's broken. He said, we're almost out of gasoline. He said, if we go just a few more miles before this compass gets fixed, he said, Brother Jack, we'll have to land in the lake. Now, he was scared, but, brother, with my faith in God, I was scared, too. And so, he said, Brother Jack, he said, if we just go a few miles long, we won't have enough gas to get back to shore. And he hit that compass. He banged on that thing. He hit it again. He prayed. Nothing had worked. Hitting the compass worked as good as praying did. nothing had worked. So, you know how you eat when you're nervous? You know how you do that? Well, boy, I thought if I'm going to go, I'm going to go full, you know. So I reached up and got that can of pecans. And when I did, the old compass straightened out. It was the can of pecans beside the compass that had gotten us off course. One little can of pecans. And something that insignificant has gotten a heap of you folks off the course. And you're going to crash if you don't watch it. Father, bless the message.